A comedy advice podcast.
An advice podcast for Stefan
and friends
to make exaggerated statements not meant to be taken literally.
What was that, Stefan?
Comedy advice podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of A Comedy Advice Podcast. My name is Stefan Sitani, and I am your host. Joining me today, a very special guest. His brothers may cook food, but he cooks up laughs. He's been an esteemed actor that's graced the screen in Rescue Me, Nurse Jackie, Top Gear, Why Women Kill, recently Dogs Playing Poker, and so much more. And he is an extremely amazing comedian that has appeared on Comedy Central, was nominated twice for Best Male Stand-Up, and has a new album out now. It's scary in here. Oh, and he's also a podcaster. He's the host of the 30 Minutes You'll Never Get Back with Adam Ferrara. Everybody, welcome Adam Ferrara.
How are you, Stefan? Now, may I ask, because this is the first time we're meeting virtually, and I thank you for inviting me over.
Oh, absolutely.
Did it start out as Stephen, and Stefan is your dancing name, or
I did a rebrand in sixth grade. So all I was right. Stephen, but everybody started calling me Stefan. And then I was like, you know what? Lady Gaga did it. Why can't I? And so
sixth grade, you did it, you visionary.
Yeah.
Look at you.
So I tried. And then everybody started calling me Stephen because it was the spelling is phonetically ambiguous, I think. So you can go Stephen or Stefan. But
okay.
Very keen on that. Yeah. Very.
Thank
sweet.
You. I please address me as Adam.
I love Adam. That's beautiful.
Yeah. I want to be fluid and ambiguous as well. It's a sign of the times.
That's amazing. And I know you're Italian American. I know Ferrara. Yes.
It's actually Ferrara is actually a town. If you go to Florence and hang a left, there's a town called Ferrara. A lot of blacksmiths are in there.
I lived there.
You did?
I did.
Where? Yeah. 125th Street and Lenox Avenue. Where were you?
That was it. I was on the pizza joint. Right on. No.
So where'd you tell me? I've never been. I saw it on a map.
Oh, man. It's beautiful. So they're trying to historically preserve the city. So you can't drive there unless you actually live there. So I ended up studying abroad and I stayed there for about 6 months. And I lived with a family and I rode on a bike that I'm 6'4 and about 200 pounds. And the bike... I called it Seabiscuit because it was like five times too small for me. So I was riding around. It was also this beautiful neon green that transitioned horribly into like a neon orange. So I'd ride that thing all around. And,
it's like a Lamborghini. They're loud and tacky, but they're fun.
Yeah, exactly. And then I also rebranded in Italy to Stefano. So I was, you know.
It's great.
Yeah.
I like you can call it rebranding. Most people call it running from a subpoena, but not you. I'm rebranding, Your Honor.
Oh, my God. But anyway, wanted to talk about you, the special guest. I've seen you on Comedy Central. I've seen your special. I just listened to your new album, which
Thank
is
you.
Absolutely phenomenal, and wanted to talk about it in just a second. But also, listening to you on interviews, your podcasts and everything, I didn't realize how darn cool you are. Just
how sweet are you, Stefan, Stefano, or Steve? I love all your personalities.
Oh my God. The Stephen one is a little boring. I start to talk about the history of Ferrara and things like that, but Stefan's a little cooler. He'll make some spaghetti and stuff. But Stefano, he wants to talk about just how cool you are and the language that you use that I think is super cool. In your album, you were using things like sweep the leg. And then in an episode, an episode of your podcast, I think it was the one with Kevin James, which was a phenomenal episode. You guys were talking about how, well, let's take a step back, talk about the beauty and structure of your podcast, which I would call like a laugh sandwich, where, it's like you and your wife, Alex, and your friend, Phil, and Mark, and you guys chat a little bit about your interview that comes up with the guest.
Mm-hmm.
Then the interview comes up, then you guys talk a little bit about it afterwards.
Yeah.
Which... Is,
thank
is
you for fun. Stefan, thank you for noticing the structure of it. Basically, here's what happened. When I sat down to do something, I wanted to do something, and I was like, okay, there's so many guys that do a great straight interview show. And I was like, you know, we already have that. So it's like my friend Mark, see? Marin does a great one, and I got him up.
Nice.
But something I what do I want to do? So I started with a feeling. I'm very visceral. You know, if it's I'm right at this point in my life, I'm trying to cultivate a felt sense rather than relying on thought because, you know, the mind's a terrible thing. So I said, all right, let me start with this feeling. And the best feeling I had when I was a kid was when I was upstairs and I heard my mom and dad and their friends downstairs laughing. And it always started with laughter. And there was always some advice. My father was a loud guy and everybody would come to the house to hear his advice. He was like the Don in the neighborhood. You know, no one really, he just had that thing where he cared about people and he could organize someone else's chaos or emotional chaos and just point them in the right direction. Mm. You know, and people left being grateful for at least that glimmer of, or that way of looking at something that they couldn't see because they were in it. And I wasn't consciously aware I was absorbing it, but by osmosis and my love for my dad, I guess that message got in. So I wanted to communicate that feeling. So we start the show with about 10 minutes of a topic, talking about something that connects to the interview that I did, the one-on-one interview I did with a celebrity or somebody cool, somebody I want to talk to. And then like any good group of friends, Stefan, we talk about them when they leave.
Did you hear what he said?
And how does that affect your life? And how does it affect the listener? And how is that incident in his life a global message or a warning or some kind of thing that affects our lives that can be passed on to the listener? So that's pretty much it.
Oh, and it's beautiful. And you got a great group of friends and wife. And I remember I listened to a couple episodes recently, and one of them was with Joe List. And I think beforehand, you were talking with your friend Phil, who sent you this beautiful recording of a video from, I think it was West Wing.
West Wing,
And you didn't read it, or you didn't see it, because it was like 2 minutes long.
Here's the thing. He sent me a video, all right? No instructions, Stefan. And don't you take his side. He's in the middle of nowhere, middle of the week, middle of the day, on a Wednesday, he's getting emotional. There was a scene on the West Wing where Martin Sheen was talking to the designated survivor, and Martin Sheen asked the designated survivor, in case anything happens, do you have a best friend? And the message was, is he smarter than you? Yes. Does he trust you with, do you trust him with your life? Yes. That's your chief of staff. So Phil, you know, the writer director that Phil is, recorded about a minute and a half to set the scene, the tone and everything. And on a random Wednesday, I get a clip. I got no time to read it, to watch it. I'm working. And the message that he wanted me to hear was 54 seconds in. So I had to text him later about something, and he got offended that I didn't watch it because he went all out of his way to announce his friendship and how he felt that we were best friends, which we are. We've known each other for 20 years.
Well, you know what? You're my guest, so I'm definitely taking your side. But even when he's my guest on the next episode, I'll take his side. But no, I think I might be the type of person to send that clip, but I would also say, like, hey, here's what this made me think of you, or like some sort of heading.
Some kind of instruction, some kind of, listen, it's like, I always tell Phil when he does this stuff, I always go back to Churchill. Churchill had a great line when he was writing letters to people during the wars. Like, I'm sorry, this is so long. I didn't have the time. If you want someone to tell them what to do, give them instructions. It's like, there's a reason my podcast has a pace to it, Stefan. It's because I am so grateful someone has taken the time to come and visit my house, because that's what my podcast is. You're going to have a good time. I'm not going to waste your time. I'm not going to say we're going to do this. But first, it's like, you know, it's like when you watch a YouTube video for some kind of instruction or something.
Right.
You know,
right.
I'm going to show you how to change the oil in this car. But first, let me show you pictures of my vacation.
Jesus, just get to where we get to it. I have shit to do. It's like when you were a kid and you had to go. You went to buy weed in the basement apartment of the weird kid in the neighborhood. You had to make believe you were friends for a half hour. Look, I don't want to mess around. I just need a nickel bag to stop the screaming in my head. All right. I don't want to listen to the Neil Young album again.
Oh my God. I'm right there with you, Adam, because I feel like, you know what? And you see it too. It's exactly like the YouTube videos where they talk about if they're going to do the oil change, but then they're like, you know what? Wanted to show you my cat real quick. Its name is Steven, but I changed it to Stefan.
And you're like, it's an Italian cat. It's Stefano. It doesn't drive. It does ride a bike that's too small for him. It's a circus cat.
That's basically what my life boils down to. But to your podcast, I thought it was fantastic. And then also, one episode you were talking about how you, Mark, needed to, he checked in early or was trying to check in early, mm-hmm. and you ended up successfully greasing the manager at the Holiday Inn. And you used the word, I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know, I'm not a good grease person. I don't even know the term for it. But you were like, yeah, I had it loaded. And you were telling the story of how you first learned about it. And I was just like, oh my God, this is so cool. I need friends like these. Because mine, we're not talking about greasing people. So.
Well, thank you. Just for your listeners, greasing doesn't mean you're killing a guy. All right.
Thank you.
Basically, I think it was it the Tony Kornheiser episode? I forget. There was an episode where Mark flew out here and we did, Mark is my producer on my show.
Yes.
And so he flew out to do some episodes out here live. This was a while ago, you know, when things were different. So he came out here and he had a hotel because he wanted a hotel room. He wanted, but fine, great. So we get to the hotel and you can't check in before noon.
Yeah.
So the guy says, I'm sorry, we can't check in for one. I was like, excuse me, let me take care of this. And I kind of knew it, you know, from hotels because I've been on the road as a comic for 20 years. I'm all right. So I loaded a 20 before we went in there. Basically, when I was a kid, I played this comedy club in Brooklyn called Toppers. And the story was that all the wise guys came in on Friday night on the late show with their girlfriends. And if they liked the show, they came back the next early show on Saturday with the wives. You don't say anything. There was a guy who ran the place would come into the green room. And Stefan, when I say green room, I mean the boiler room under the stairs. It wasn't any. Yeah. You want some water? Yeah. It's up there under the leaky pipe. Put the glass back when you're done. You know, that the kind of accommodations we had. So Rocky ran the joint, would poke his head in on Saturday. And the code was, we got company. Don't say nothing about nothing, which means the wise guys that were in with the girlfriends on Friday came back on set with the wife. Don't say nothing that you saw them before. Right. Okay. So I was on stage and I did this joke about my girlfriend yelling at me and turning into a pterodactyl. And I went, rah, rah, you know, this uh-huh. thing. Well, the wise guy was sitting there and his girlfriend got up and went to the bathroom before I did the joke. She was this skyscraper blonde that just went to the bathroom. Uh-huh. And the guy did the joke and the guy laughed. Like, and the girl came back and sat down. And in the middle of my next bit, when she sat down, the guy yelled out, do the bird joke again. I was like, sir, do the bird joke again. And I knew who he was. I'm like, here's one of my favorites. Now I'm a fucking jukebox, Stefan. I do the joke again.
That's you.
Oh, stop it, Al. Right? So walked out and the guy shook my hand. And he went, hey, you made me laugh. And he shook my hand. And in there was a totally, Stefan, it was a fold. It was origami. I don't know how the guy did it. It was a folded $100 bill in a square that you could see the hundred. You could see what it was. I don't know how the hell he did it. But it was, and he shook my hand, which meant I'm showing my gratitude, but nobody else has to know our business. So that's where I learned it. The guy, he didn't grease me because I wasn't doing anything for him. It was thank you. You know, it was a wise guy move.
Nice.
Always remembered that because I went, oh, and I put it in my pocket because I didn't want anybody to see it. Right? So when I knew we might have a problem, I just loaded $20 in my a $20 bill the same way. I didn't fold it as nicely, Stefan, but I had it loaded just in case we had problems. So the guy goes, I'm sorry, Mr. Stern, that was his name. We have your resume, but you can't check in before noon. And so I leaned in and I went, I totally understand. And I do not, and I totally understand and I respect the policies of this hotel. I would consider it a favor if you could just maybe find an open room for my friend. He just flew across the country. He's very tight and we have to work later. And any accommodations or anything you could do, I would greatly appreciate. What is your name? Dave? Dave, thank you very much. And I shook his hand and I had the 20 in there. Well, Dave doesn't know what's going on. He turns it over and goes, what's this? I go, now it's evidence, you fuck. There's a camera right there. What are you doing? You put the 20 in your pocket and you go, let me see what I can do, Mr. Ferrara. And you show him to a friggin' room. That's what you do.
Right. Exactly. Oh, man. He totally missed the memo.
I had to cover it. I go, Dave. I go, oh, is that yours, Dave? I don't know where that came from because now I'm covering my ass.
I didn't realize how complicated a greasing is.
Well,
the whole process.
It's not supposed to be. Dave fucked it up, Stefan.
Yeah, exactly. The whole name of the process is greasing. It should be going over smoothly.
Makes things move cleaner, less squeaking. Here's a little oil for you.
No oh, one's gonna know. I've never been greased before, but I feel I would probably be just like Dave if I saw it. I would totally pull a Steven and be like, "Oh, what's this? Did you drop this? Should I?"
Yeah, you've never been. Stefano would know what's going on.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Like I capisce.
There you go. Ooh, look at the lira.
Oh god.
That was one story on the podcast, but I thank you for listening, because you know we do these things and you get emails back from people, but you never, you know, when you can pinpoint something that we've done, it makes me feel good. So I'm glad that you listen. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. And then all of my listeners, I'm going to encourage them to listen and put a link in the show notes for them to go follow so they could listen.
Well, thank you,
because it's absolutely incredible. You also do Talk With Me Tuesdays.
Yeah, it's on Facebook Live. If you go to my website, click the link. It's 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And basically that started, I was on a show called Top Gear, which was a car show. And it was on Tuesday nights. And we used to live text with everybody. My wife and I would live text with everybody. Nice. And we had this little family. And so the show, they didn't pick up our contract for it. So the show went away. But I had these people I was talking to every night. So I was shooting something. I forget what I was shooting. And then one Tuesday I came back and there was a bunch of stuff on Twitter and Instagram. Like, we miss you. I'm like, we got to do something. And so my wife came up with this idea. And it's basically my wife holding a camera and we go live on Tuesday nights. And it's thousands of people show up to watch my wife scold me. That's pretty much what it is.
But in the most entertaining of ways.
Yeah, we talk to people. I mean, we have people that come back every week and share their lives with us. It's like a phone call with thousands of your friends. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I didn't get to experience it live, but I did see last week's as well. When you started it up talking with the fans as things were going before you talked with Tanner, which was
Tanner Faust, who was on the show Top Gear with me. You know, he'll awesome. Call in once in a while. My crazy friend Phil from my podcast will call in bitching and moaning about something. Yeah. Rutledge Wood, who was on the show with me as well. So yeah, it's whatever we're in the mood for. And if someone has, like, you know, we have a couple of fans that, can you say hi to my son? And you wave and people get excited, and it's nice. It's nice when we can all contribute.
Yeah, that's really cool. And it's so cool too, because I feel like there are so many ways. I know that you do so much, from comedy to...
You're married?
I am, yes.
Okay, you got a wife and a mortgage?
I do.
Yeah, well, you're going to do a lot of shit too. So
I'm sorry.
It ain't this altruistic and giving stuff. I got a friggin' mortgage. Keep working! Pump it out!
Yep, I'm experiencing that right as we speak. We just celebrated our 5-year anniversary.
God bless you. God bless you. And what is your wife's name, if I may ask?
Her name is Bianca.
Bianca. Now, did it start out as Beatrice and end up as Bianca? Is this a family thing?
Yeah, she was Beatrice from Jersey, and then we went to Ferrara together, and then we became Stefano and Bianca. So
there you go.
That was beautiful. Great.
You just did stay away from Leopold and Loeb. Those are the two you don't want to be.
Yeah, that's very true. But I was just going to say too, about with you doing so many things, it's so cool that I feel like you're one of those people where people might see you in one thing and be interested. And then as they start to get to know you, it's just like, oh my gosh, look at all this other cool stuff that Adam does, which.
Yeah, that's actually one of the reasons for the podcast as well, is to have like a home base, because I would get people that come see me at a theater or a comedy club. And they're like, I didn't know you were stand up. I'm like, what did you think was going to happen here tonight? Did you think I was going to act out a scene with Edie Falco from the show? Did you think Dennis Lee was going to show up and we were going to put out a fire? Did you think I was going to burn out some parking lot? You know, where do you know me from? What did you think was going to happen? So that's part of the reason for the podcast as well, is to have like a home base. And it's nice to be able to grow that Talk to Me Tuesday family into a podcast and have input from everybody else. It's like talking to Kevin. I mean, Kevin James did an episode with me and that was the first, one of the early ones I did was with Kevin. Cause you know, I know him, you know, so, the fans got a little excited about the King of Queens episodes I've done and, the movie Mall Cop we were in together. Yeah. So they could share in it as well. So it's nice.
Yeah, that was a really cool episode too. It was awesome to see you guys talk, and I didn't know that you guys used to be roommates. So that was cool to find out and then find out as I think this is helpful for everybody that's trying to break out and do something like you guys are doing, whether it's comedy or entertainment or whatever, where at one point in the podcast, you were like, yeah, I was freaking out like four times a day. I'm like, am I going to be able to do this? I can't afford toilet paper. And like, you're struggling. And I think that is helpful in a sense for other people that are going through that struggle now to hear that. And besides the big
looks back and romanticizes the past, you know, especially when it's just easier to do. But it's like, you know, we were sitting there talking to each other about, hey, remember when we did this? Remember we did Candid Camera together? We did, you know, remember we were in this movie together? And then, you know, all the good old days, like we were a freaking mess. We went we had to get loaded to get on a plane because we're both afraid of flying. Actually, he was more afraid than me, and I couldn't let him get drunk by himself. So we were a friggin' mess. We were nervous as hell, you know? So that was, and just being able to do that. It's like, I got a friend of mine now. He's dating a woman in her 20s, you know? Mm-hmm. And he's like, I goes, I don't think it's going to work out. I go, it's not. It's not going to work out. He's like, why? I said, because you're at the point where you talk about your past and this lady doesn't have one. Stop it. You know?
Her past, my God.
Breakfast. He's been a good old. What is she going to, what regret does she have? Should have had the eggs. What regret does she have that she could share with you?
Oh my God. That is so true. Yep. The communication there might be a little scrambled, just like the eggs.
Yeah, but that's, but to when you go, and one of the other things about doing this pod, how long have you been doing yours, if I can ask?
About 3 years.
Okay. So may I ask you, because I'm about 90 episodes in. In fact, this week, I don't know when this is going to drop, but as we're recording this, this week's episode is Clyde Phillips, who was the writer and showrunner for Dexter, Nurse Jackie, and he's doing the Dexter reboot on Showtime. So there's a 10-episode limited series of Dexter. So I spoke to him, and I think production actually starts Thursday. So I spoke to him, you know, just about that and writing and everything. I get to talk to people like that. And in doing this show, you discover a lot about yourself. You know, I was in the interviews, I was like, all right, I'm telling this story again. I got to get out of the house. I got to bring something new to the table. So it's a way to self-examine when you are using your life as fodder for a show.
Yeah, I think that is spot on. And that's something that happened to me too, about maybe a year ago, 6 months ago, where I'm like, I'm saying the same things here. So what I started to do, I don't do stand up anymore, but I was doing it up a little bit. And then, you know, coronavirus, but I started writing more. And so at just like 30 minutes a day in the morning, I'll have my coffee, I'll start writing. And then things just start to come out and I start to think, have memories and just have new fodder.
Same thing with you, with the coffee alone in the morning, starting the day and I write. But a lot of it starts like this. Fuck, 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 fuck. So I got about a half a page of that. Sometimes I spell it with a PH, like Chaucer. So it looks like.
I was going to, you know what? I've also been thinking about rebranding that writing time to thinking time, because I feel like when I say that I have to write for 30 minutes, that gives me, I feel like I have so much pressure on me that I got to be writing for 30 straight minutes. And sometimes I'm not, but if I'm not checking my phone, if I'm not talking to my lovely wife, if I'm not eating food, whatever, my mind can be there just thinking about different things. Synapses is firing and allows me to just focus or be in this world that I can spill onto the page.
Yeah.
And so,
I just look at these. I got the ramblings of a madman. I got stuff all over the house. I got different colors. Stefan, look at this. I got all kinds of shit here. Different things. And it's just a way of just, like you said, writing has to have a, if you look at, I'm writing, there has to be a conclusion to it. There has to be an outcome to it. If you just like, I just think on the paper, and that's why I use the colors just to organize it. And then as I'm the act of doing that, something pops up.
Yeah.
So it's like, and I'm at the point now where I'm trying to just allow the thoughts and allow those obsessions and allow those things to exist in their own space. I'll be over here. There's the crazy over there. And then while that's working, it's like I'm a football fan. So there's two kinds of head coaches. There's the hands-on head coach and there's a walk-around head coach. Jimmy Johnson from the Cowboys was a walk-around head coach. Bill Parcells was a walk-around head coach. Basically, offensive coordinator, defensive, special teams, and then he just walks around and makes adjustments. So I try to do that with my thoughts. Like, all right, here's what I got to, here's this week's episode. Here's this stand-up show I got to do. Here's this pitch meeting I got to do. Here's the idea for the script that's spinning. And I just look at it as a heads-up display, and I visit little things and try not to get freaked out by this has to get done, because I'm connected to the outcome. And once it's done, I don't have to obsess about it anymore. I'm going to obsess anyway. But if I do that, I allow the obsession to exist on its own, and I don't have to embody it or identify with it.
Wow.
I'm still fucking miserable, Stefan, but I'm trying.
Oh, but I think that's fantastic advice, because sometimes I do get caught in the web of my own worries and things that I have going on. So being able to kind of just.
Yeah, the suffering comes from the stories we tell ourselves. As long as if you're aware of the story you're telling yourself about this event or about something that has to get done, that's where all your suffering lives.
Yeah.
You know, what is different than what you think it is.
Yeah. Oh, God. Wow. I didn't realize we were going to get this deep. This is beautiful.
You want to talk about my dick? I can do that.
Speaking of deep. No. This was great. We're going to go into the life advice and answer some questions from fans, sure. Adam. But before we do, I usually like to center ourselves with an inspirational quote. And so I've got one, but I usually like to ask my guests if they have any inspirational quotes that help them get inspired or get them through their dark days.
Oh, Yogi Berra. I got a book on Yogi Berra. I'm reading. Yogi Berra had a great quote, because here's the thing is I'm a guy. So it's a problem solving thing. My wife comes to me. What's the bottom line? What do I got to move? What do I got to paint? What do I got to buy? You know, what do you need me to do to fulfill my mission as a husband? So I'm very problem solving thing.
Nice.
So by not connecting, and that's where a lot of the aggravation comes from. I got to get it done because my father was the man of the house. This is the way the man of the house behaves. If it doesn't happen, I'm less of a man. All kinds of shit in my head. So Yogi Berra, his teacher, when he was a kid, went up to Yogi. He got everything wrong on a test. And his teacher went up to him and said, Yogi, don't you know anything? And Yogi looked at his teacher and said, I'm not even suspicious.
That's really good.
That actually helped me, because in my head, I'm supposed to know everything. I'm supposed to be able to provide for my family and solve all their problems to make them happy, because that's what a man does.
Right.
So now, you know, it's like my subconscious story I'm telling myself is my wife comes to me like for something to do and I don't know how to do it. I feel less than. So she's like, well, I came to you because you know how to do it. I'm like, I'm not even suspicious. So I can say that to myself, make myself laugh, and then move on with solving the problem. And sometimes solving the problem is finding someone that knows how to solve the problem.
Oh, yes, that's true. That's very true. Oh, I love
what do
it.
You got?
So I've actually got a quote. It's not by Yogi Berra or a person at all, actually. It's by a robot called InspiroBot.
Okay, you got to get out of the house more, all right? You're talking to friggin' appliances. You're changing your name. You're trying to get a new identity. And your next identity is going to be R2-D2 Stefano. And I don't want to see that happen.
Oh, my God. I was trying to tinker with it and play with it. I was like, babe, do you like Steph 2-D2? And she's like, beep, boop. No, I don't.
Yeah, no.
All right. Well, I'll spit this one out. But this is actually – so InspiroBot, it uses AI to take some of the most inspirational words known to man and woman and just mash them together. So we'll see if this one makes sense. Sometimes it's a hit. Sometimes it's a miss. InspiroBot this week says, a kick in the groin can distract policemen.
Yeah. Next week it's going to say, and you will do 3 to 5 mandatory for resisting arrest and assaulting a police officer.
Yeah, I feel like that one was a little miss. I think InspiroBot wants to incarcerate.
You know, InspiroBot, are you a David Bowie fan?
No.
Okay, this is the way Bowie used to write. He would take books and cut them up, and he would cut up sentences, phrases like InspiroBot's doing, and he would paste them on different pieces of paper.
Huh.
Called Mashup, and there's a couple of documents. I got a Bowie book, too, I was reading, too, and he used to do that, too. So it was the early InspiroBot when you had to do it by hand.
Oh, man. They should have a Bowie bot where you could just make up a song by clicking and it just takes some of the wisest
That's pretty
lyrics.
Cool.
Nice. I love it. Okay. Well, that one didn't make sense, but we're inspired, so we can move on. I've got this first question. It's from our fan, Shauna. Thank you, Shauna. And she sent it. She found it on Reddit. So somebody asks, music suggestion for after surgery. Tomorrow I'm getting 4 of my wisdom teeth removed. I will be high and waiting for a few hours after the surgery. What music should I listen to?
Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon, but make a playlist and don't use and omit the song Time, because Time starts with a bunch of clocks going off. So you'll get high, you'll be in a nice groove, and then Time kicks in with all the clocks and like, fuck, and then you're back again. You don't want that.
Oh God.
Yeah, take that out. So Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon, take the song Time out of the playlist. The whole thing works great. That's a good high song. What do you got? What does the robot say about getting music to get high?
The robot said, well, it was still on the policeman thing. It said the discography of the Police. So
yeah, but you're high. You're high. Here's the thing about after wisdom teeth taken out and you're high.
Yeah.
You don't want ska or reggae. You don't want to be bopping. You want just, all right, chill. You know,
That's, you know what? I would listen to either Adam's
spirits in the material. Well, and then you'll be bopping your head and then the pain's going to come back.
Oh, that's true. Exactly. You know what? I would listen to, because I think laughter gets amplified. So maybe listen to 30 Minutes You'll Never Get Back with Adam Ferrara and that's friends.
Good. Well, yeah, listen to it after the anesthesia. I don't want you laughing and being in pain and connecting your bad feeling to my podcast. I don't need this. I need listeners.
Wow, you've really thought this through. This is great.
I haven't thought this through. I got a wife, and she eats every day, Stefan. I got to get listeners, and I got to get more money. So
they've got to be quality listeners. They can't be chewing their teeth on it and then getting injuries. Okay, that's perfect. I was going to say also just maybe some sleep sounds or something like that, where it's just the waves of the ocean, or maybe just a nice campfire.
You're going to have to pee.
Oh, crap. Okay. Maybe a campfire?
Yeah. Okay. You can do the campfire. It depends on what your memories, because these are also going to trigger memories when you're high too. So it's going to open a door of, do you have nice memories of the woods, or do you have like, I couldn't believe he had a shovel and duct tape. Thank God I saw it before I got in the car. You know?
Oh my God. Yeah, that's very true. That is dangerous.
Yeah. I would say go back to, this actually helps me. It helps during football season to sleep. Like I'll listen to sports radio, or I'll listen to podcasts about football. Grown men bitching about a game I've already seen, and but just that comfort thing. So when you're in that high place, go back to something that brings you comfort. Like if you were a kid and you were a deadhead, listen to the Dead, listen to something that has a nice memory connected to it, rather than taking a chance on putting something on that might jar a memory you don't want to have.
That's true. And for the love of God, wherever you're listening, make sure you have a premium subscription, because if Spotify is going to hit you with an ad about Squarespace, you're going to be in for a loop.
Ruins your whole buzz. That's the whole theory behind the song Time in that. I'm like, meh. Not when I'm chilling.
Good point. Okay, perfect. I feel like we nailed that one. So we'll move on. This next segment, this is called Positive Spin, because a lot of times when we are confronted with problems, we just think of the negative. So I wanted to create a segment where we start to think immediately of the positive things, of bad things that could happen, so that we think positively.
Okay.
All right. So Adam, this one's for you, actually. So for this positive spin, this is what happens. I don't know how it happens. Maybe the city of LA is like, hey, we're not allowed to, you can't drive a 1970 Buick Electra 225 anymore. You
wanna
have
bet?
To drive. This is where you load it and you grease them and be like, this says I can.
Yeah.
You have to drive a Prius. And so now, from now on, you, Adam Ferrara, have to drive a Prius. Ooh.
Right.
So any positives?
The positive is it will force me to get a bike.
You can feel like you're in Ferrara. That's beautiful.
I want an orange and green bike that's too small for me, named Seabiscuit.
That is better than a Prius.
Yeah. It's not the electric car. It's the Prius. The Prius just they aren't fun. You know, some electric cars. You know, I had a couple of Teslas that were. I had a. I'm trying to think of a. Here's the thing about the electric cars for me is that they're a necessity, and that's the way we're going. And I understand there's a place for them, but they're not
right
cars for me. Like that old Buick. You know, if you guys don't know, I had a 70 deuce and a quarter. I had that. Cars were alive then. You know, it's got it breathes air. It's got fluid. Right. It's got it bleeds. You know, it breathes air and breathes. So it's like there's a lot of moving parts in the car, and you're in it together. You know, yeah. when you're in, you know, an electric car, not a lot of moving parts, and it's just, you know, it's like taking inspirational quotes from a robot. Sure, that's the way it's going, but you're going to end up kicking a policeman in the groin. You're going to blame an inanimate object.
I think you might be right, man. The Tesla, it has the autopilot, but it might accidentally drive into a cop's groin, and then
Driving. That's transportation. That's I don't want an appliance. I want a car.
Oh God, that's true. The car has the soul in it, I feel.
Yes.
You know what I'm really sad about too? All of my Italian relatives, they would tell me too, because I don't know how to drive a stick shift. Mm-hmm. I've wanted to my whole life. My wife, her whole family lives in Brazil, so it's all stick shift country over there. Sure. Stick shift in Italy, and I can't drive one.
Those people aren't messing around.
Oh my God, no, man! Even on the bikes, holy shit, they're just all over the place. Oh my God, I got some stories over there that are very boring, but I'll save it for another time. Anyway, so okay, some positives: getting a bike from the Prius, beautiful. Right. I feel like. Nailed it. All right. Last question, and then this is going to be the end of the podcast, Adam.
Sure.
All right. So this is from Reddit, found by our fan Kyle. Thank you, Kyle. It says, advice on how to get a lazy sister to do dishes. Me and my sister still live at home. I love to cook, mainly for myself. I always hate coming home from work and wanting to cook and have to take 2 to 3 times longer to clean and do the dishes than it would take for me to cook a simple meal for myself. I sometimes skip a meal because I just look at it and feel burnt out, especially after a long day of work, which isn't ideal for me. She will cook for our parents, but won't really wash the pans right away, which obviously takes more time because they have caked on by the time me or my mom gets to it. This frustrates me and my mom.
Okay.
Help.
She's got to get the sister to do the dishes or do the pots and the pans?
I think just the dishes in general. She's just making the dinner and then.
Here's what I would do. Say, listen, here's what we'll do. I understand you don't want to do the dish. There's more dishes than there's pots and pans. If you do the pots and pans, I'll do the dishes. Get her to commit to that. And then let her do the pots and pans, and then you buy paper plates.
I almost spit my water out on that one.
That's it.
Excellent idea. You know, I feel, I don't know how it works in the Ferrara household, but in the Citani household, the rule is, thou that does not cook cleans.
Yeah.
So it seems like there's a little bit of there's some misorganization and miscommunication going on here because he likes to cook for himself, his greedy little self. Right. Sister cooks for the rest of the family, but then doesn't clean. So I feel like maybe if you talk with her and be like, hey, sis, I don't know, maybe load something up. Be like, can you cook for me as well? If I'm not there, save it for me. And then I will do the dishes when I get home. And then you don't have to cook for yourself.
Yeah, you could do that. Yeah, like I said, depend what you figure out what you want and figure out who you're working with, then figure out how to get it. So what do you want? You don't want to cook? Look, I'll do the dishes. You got to do this, this, and this. Or if you do this, I'll do it. Everything's a negotiation. Everything's a friggin' negotiation. It doesn't really matter. You know, just figure out what you want and then figure out how to get there. And then be mindful of the people that are in that puzzle with you. You know,
that's right.
Because you can don't look at someone to change because they're not going to change. Right. How can you work with this person?
Yeah.
You know, my wife looks at me like, look, she knows she's got, I know my wife is going to ask me a question 3 times. It's going to be 3 times. So first time is yes. Are you sure? Right. Then she'll rephrase and ask again. So I don't get upset. The 4th time I'm like, hey, we've done this. But I know that's just it. I'm going to have to answer a question 3 different times. Don't get angry. This is just what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Same with my wife.
My wife knows with me. I'm going to come home. She's going to tell me something that I'm not going to hear the first time. Or I'm going to tell her I hear it, but it didn't register the first time. So she'll tell me again.
Yeah. I've told my wife to leave a recording just the first time. So she doesn't have to waste her breath. So the first 3 times she'll ask it. And
don't look like if you did. No, this is just who she is. My honey, you ready? Yeah. No, she's not ready. That means she's got to pee. So work around it. I got a little chair right by the front door because that's where I'm going to sit with the dog when she tells me she's ready. That's another 15 minutes. Honey, you ready? Yeah, I just got her. I just got us 10 minutes. And then after, honey, you're ready? After that 10 minutes is, yeah, I'm ready, which means then I'm going to pee. And then I look at the dog and she's like, yeah, she's got another 2 minutes. The dog knows too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The dog.
That's it.
I forgot about that. You know, that happened with us too until quarantine. I forgot about that little, that fun time, the 30 extra minutes of getting ready. But it is what it is. All right. Yeah. Well, fantastic. Well, that's the end of the podcast. I wanted to, Adam, first, thank you so much for joining. It was awesome.
Oh, thanks for having me, my friend. You were fun. I enjoyed talking to you, and I really appreciate you listening to the podcast. I'm very proud of it. If you guys want to check me out, it's the Adam Farrar Podcast. 30 minutes, you'll never get back. Wherever you get your podcast, talk to me. Tuesdays are Tuesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Go to my website, click the link, and join us. Feel free to send us an email if you want to ask us to get a guest on or have a question. And I thank you for your time, Stephen, Stefan, and Stefano.
You got all three. Thank you, thanks, and grazie. So I really appreciate it. And also your new album, Scary in Here.
It's Scary in Here. That was great. Recorded live at the Gotham Comedy Club. You can get that wherever you get your comedy albums.
Awesome.
It's on Spotify. Sirius is running it a lot. Pandora. And thanks for listening to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Adam. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Be well. You do the same, my friend.
All right. Thank you so much. Take care. Woo-wee. I think I might have six-pack abs after listening to that episode. What about you? That was so much fun with Adam Farrara. Please follow him, support him, listen to his podcast. The links are in the show notes. And don't forget, if you like what you heard, you made it all the way to the end, and you have nothing to show for it, well, show something. Tag me on a Comedy Advice Podcast on Instagram. Subscribe so you don't miss great episodes like this. Leave a review. Show me some love, and I'll show you some love back. Wink. All right. Love you guys so much, and thank you for listening and making this an even better podcast. Love you all. Mwah. Two kisses. Oh, maybe three? Should we go for three for a perfect match? Mwah. XOXO. Gossip Guy. Oh, God. I got to cut that out.